Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Well, it is an honor to be here, Pastor, and I just said this morning, I seen Pastor's shirt, and I'm like, those shirts just make me happy. Every time you wear shirts like that, it just makes me happy, and I'm glad that you're still doing it, man. It's so good. Well, it is awesome to be here, guys. I feel really privileged. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. It's a privilege to be able to share the Word and what God has placed on my heart, and this morning's worship, I feel, is just totally just a lead up to what I feel God wants to share this morning. So just so Holy Spirit led and just full of Jesus. It's awesome. It's awesome. Isn't Jesus just wonderful? You know, I'm just in awe sometimes of just the reality of God. For moments, I've looked at my friends when I was in Canada, completely godless. They have no Jesus in their life, and going through trauma, going through things, and I just think to myself, how in the world do you deal with life? How do you do it, you know? And I know I was there for many, many years, you know, without the peace of God, without knowing the reality of Jesus, and I'm just so grateful to God for what He's done and how we can gather like this as a family and truly love one another. And this morning, I want to talk about true identity. I've got a ton of scriptures. We're not going to be able to read every single one of them. But what I want to do is, if anybody, and I would encourage you guys to get the PDF, I can actually get it out into an email and send it to you so that you can read all the scriptures and get into your Word and really begin to see who we are as God's children. Because probably one of the number one things that I encounter with not just young people, but young and old, is who am I? Who am I? I know my name's Dave, but who am I? What am I called to? What am I supposed to look like? Why does the Christian faith look so powerful for the pastor, but not for me? Why does it look so empty for me, but so full for somebody else? And we can get into this really ugly cycle of, you know, almost making God to be very favorable towards one person but not ourselves. And in so many ways, it's because of our lack of understanding. We just don't really know what we really are meant for, what we're called to do, who we are in the image of God. And I want to cover some of that today. I found this to be incredibly liberating for me to find out that I can actually be free. And it's not just a cliche word that we say on a Sunday morning, but it's something I can actually experience on a day-to-day life. Being totally free, liberated from the old self. Isn't that fun? It's an amazing thing when we actually get revelation of this. So we're just going to go for it. Can I get the next slide, please, there, Jer? Now, one thing that I like to do is when I'm trying to answer questions, right, I like to go right to the beginning. What is it like? In the beginning, God created a whole bunch of stuff, and He said it was good. So if He said it's good, that means it's really good. And so I'm just going to go right there. Now, this is all in context of identity, who we are as sons and daughters of God. And this is a journey. This is a journey of us discovering, whether young or whether old, we are still discovering the great things of God and how we can use this and who we are in this moment, in this day. But in the beginning, we see God, he creates man in His image, right? This is an awesome thing. Now, God is love, right? And if God is love, then we're made in the image of love, because God is love. Now, this is incredibly powerful when we begin to acknowledge what this actually means, right? God, let's just journey here for a moment, okay? I'm going to create a bit of a story here, and we're going to go through it, and it's going to be awesome. We're just going to have fun along the way. But God is love. He didn't just come up with this portion of love when He created man. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were always there, and they were consumed with love. They were love. All they could do was just give to one another. And they created, and they gave, and they created, and they gave. They just loved one another. They were always loving. There is no start and there is no end to love. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It just keeps going. It's always been there. So we can't just chart on, you know, January 1st, whatever. That's the day that God created love. He's always been love. And this is really powerful when we begin to see this lens through the journey of this morning. God is love. Now, the incredible thing is that love always gives, it never takes. Love always gives, it never takes. And in that giving, God created man and he says, man, I'm going to make you different to everything else. You're different to everything else. And he creates man out of the dust of the ground and he breathes into man the image of God. The image of God, you were created in him. The image of love. What are you supposed to look like? You're supposed to look like love. This is an awesome thing. That means it's possible. If you're created in the image of love, that means it is totally possible for you to love radically. Just like 1 Corinthians 13. We sometimes look at that and we go, I am so short from that. I am so far away and so stretched from that particular love. But I'm telling you, God made you in the image of love. So he begins to create man. And one of the really interesting things is, you know, when me and Tree, when we got married, I really loved her. I really love her. I love her more today than I did then. But 4 years into our marriage, we're like, we've been loving one another a lot. Let's love some other people. And we created children. Hallelujah. We got children and we began to just love on these kids. And it's the same way with God. He creates his children and you will do anything for them. Absolutely anything. Where there's no money, you'll find a way. You'll get a loan. You'll ask people. Love is ridiculous in its raw form. It is amazing. This is the love of God that I'm talking about. Now we know the story, right? Man falls into this really dark place. The enemy deceives Eve and we have sin enters the world. Now, sin equals self. Every sinful act is absolutely selfish. You begin to look at, you know, the moments of sin maybe in your own life or what you can see in this world, and it is totally selfish, right from the core. That's Genesis 3, verse 1 to 7. Now, in Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25, like we see God from that moment, he begins to devise this incredible plan, and Jesus is at the forefront. He enters the scene, right? All right. Next slide, please. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin to look at what did the fall of man actually do to us? Because we accept a lot of things in our lives that are absolutely selfish, and we deem them as being, that is just me. That's the way that God created me. This is the way that I am, you know. This is my personality. And we have really aligned ourselves with some of the fall of man instead of walking in the function of the new man. So let's just look at this, okay? Matthew 16, verse 24. This incredible verse where Jesus says, if you want to follow me, and every person in this room that has said yes to Jesus, you're following him. That is our call to follow him. He says, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Now, why is this so important? When I begin to look at this, I thought, who is this God that I'm serving? Is he just so about himself that he wants me to deny all of my fun stuff in life? He doesn't want me to get married. He doesn't want me to have fun. He doesn't want me to go go-karting. He wants me to just give all this fun stuff up to go and live a life of just surrendered kind of hardship to the Lord and just whip myself every day and just, you know, put my body into submission with all kinds of torture. But the reason why he says deny yourself is because you're never designed for yourself. You are never designed to function in the self. And so when we say things like, this is just the way that I am, get over it. You're aligning yourself with the fall of man. And you will never live in freedom. You will never live in victory and become love like we're called to be. You're made in the image of love. That's radical. You're made in the image of love. Let's look at the fruits of the self. This is not an exhausted list, but man, let's look at it because it's really ugly. And we can identify with these things: greed, pride, running over people, backstabbing, without love, stealing, justifying actions, pointing fingers, offended easily. Selfishness is at the root of every single one of these things. And so when God says, get rid of the self, He's just saying, get rid of the same thing that's been killing you for all these years. Isn't that cool? So when He says, get rid of yourself, He's saying, get rid of the poison that is killing your life. Get rid of the poison that is causing a wall to stand before you and the freedom we have in God. And in moments we get these glimpses, right? In worship like this, it's so beautiful. The fellowship of God, it's so amazing. We come together and we feel so wonderful in God's presence because it's awesome there. We feel the love of our brothers and our sisters, just as Pastor was sharing this morning, right? But the reality is you will have to walk out these doors in another 3 hours, because I get 3 hours, is that right? So in about 3 hours, you get to walk out these doors. Right on, right? You're awesome, bro. But the reality is we will have to walk out these doors and you will not have 150 or whatever people in this room standing around you. They'll be with you in spirit. They'll be with you in spirit. They'll be encouraging you. But you have to pick up truth and walk in it.
That's right.
You have to live in the reality of God. And this is what I found for myself, guys, is when I began to see the ugliness of the self, I began to just be more aware of the issues of life that I was walking through and claiming them as my own. I'm just this way. I'm just that way, you know? I'll never get along with them because, well, they've just got problems. And just being selfish with myself. I never seen it as that. But the Holy Spirit is so great at exposing the lies that we're living in when we let Him in. When we let Him in. And this is a surrender thing, guys. When we deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow Him, we have to believe that He is amazing. We have to believe that the self that I'm leaving behind is not worth it. It's not worth it to live in that place. Now, one thing that I want to encourage us this morning to do is to not encourage each other in a lie. We do it sometimes. Let me just give you an example. All right, I've got friends that, and I have many times, woken up in the morning really grumpy. Really, really grumpy. Wake up in the morning, I'm just so grumpy today. And along the way, I run into people and I'm grumpy. And these people are now being offended and affected by my grumpiness. And I'm like, I'm just not a morning person. Haven't had my coffee yet. I've got friends that still do this all the time. And they're claiming it like it's their own. Right? And so what we do is say, hey, look, brother, it's okay, man. You haven't had your coffee. It's okay for you to, you know, be grumpy in the morning because you haven't had your coffee yet and you haven't fully woken up yet. And so we're going to be okay with that. And what we begin to do is we begin to solidify the lie that he's living in. Come on, guys. We begin to solidify the lie. Now, if you wake up grumpy one morning, don't condemn yourself. Come on, let's not be silly. That's just the enemy's territory. We don't go there. I have long, long walked away from that place. It's condemned me for so many years. I won't go there. So I don't do that. But what it's doing is it's causing us to reinforce a lie of the enemy. You have to be grumpy in the morning because you haven't had your coffee yet. That is rubbish. Jesus never gave us the right to wake up in the morning and offend a bunch of people along the way until I get my cup of joe. You know what I'm saying? And I had to walk through this. Like, these are really simple things, but man, it's the little things that we steward and we begin to see transformation from the inside out. Walking in the identity of the self is really ugly. Let's look at this. Greed, pride, running over people. I haven't had my cup of joe yet. That gives me the right to run over people. Jesus will never say yes and amen to that. He won't. So the reality is that you can be free from that. That's where I'm going, guys. All of this stuff is you can be free. Well, it's just me. You can be free. Yeah, but it's just what? Jesus. Man, it's either a powerful gospel or it's not. I'm serious. Is Jesus real? Is this a power transformation from the inside out? Or are we doing product kind of, you know, okay, well, I'm seeing bad fruit, so I'll try to do better tomorrow, and I'll try to... No. No, you can't do better. You need the power of God to transform you. And right up here, this is the battlefield. What you believe you'll become. If you believe that Jesus can set you free, guess what? He will set you free. And you'll begin to walk in ease. You won't struggle so much. Man, there's things in my life that I look at now, and I'm like, just the other day I was talking to my wife, I'm like, there's things, I was sitting in my quiet time. Holy Spirit's so wonderful. He just encourages you. And he's reminding me of things that a year ago I was struggling just to get through, and I'm not even trying to get over that, guys. But I'm learning to surrender. And as I surrender to what God has called me to be, it's amazing how I just become that. We are becoming love, not just filled with it. You're to become love. Isn't that awesome? It's so good. Selfishness is at the root of every problem. It's the opposite of love. One more slide there, Jer. Now, who is God? We have to settle some things in our hearts, guys. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? That's who He is. Who is God? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're amazing, right? But there's some things that we got to settle in our hearts when we're beginning to look at. What am I? Who am I? What am I designed for? What am I supposed to look like? Well, all of these things are formed by our concepts and ideas of who God is, but many of us have concepts of who He really isn't, but we're serving that Jesus. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but God does not lie. God is merciful. God is our rock. God loves us. God is love. God is my help. The Lord is righteous, gracious, and full of compassion. This is who He is. And so when we're looking at the Word, and we begin to see this, we have to align ourselves with this and settle it. Say, yes, You are. Yeah, but my life is declaring, but the Word declares. Yeah, but my life, but the Word declares. This has to be the plumb line for us. Or else it's just, we're a God unto ourselves. Our circumstances, they share who God is. Oh, today God is not good. Oh, today God is good. Why? Because someone prayed for me. Oh, tomorrow it's not good because, no, God is always good. Amen. We have to read the Word. Please don't be those people that blow dust off your Bible and open this thing once a year. Please, you will never live victorious. I promise you. You will not live victorious that way. You will not walk in the image of love. Because you have no idea what it's supposed to look like. Guys, it's an awesome message of freedom. It's freedom. Freedom from the self, because He's killing you. He's really killing you. It's poison to your soul. And as soon as we get that, we can let Holy Spirit in. Yes, Jesus. Next slide, please. Let's go one more. Identity crisis. Many of us are sitting here. So what happened when they ate of the tree? Can I get one more slide, please, Jer? Perfect communion was lost with God. Shame came on them. They became self-aware and self-defensive. They blamed God and others for their actions. They started to question the heart of God for them. This all came through the fall. Does this sound familiar, guys? Did you know that you were never designed to question the heart of God? You were never designed to go, is God really? No, He's good. He is amazing. He's good. He's so loving. He's so powerful. But this is what happened through the fall. We lost that perfect communion with God. Shame. How many people I meet that are walking in shame consistently? So ashamed. It's holding them back from freedom. Self-aware, being self-defensive. Man, it is so much better when you let God defend you. Tell you, it is wonderful. It is so wonderful. You don't have to be so offended all the time. You really don't. You can be free from that. You don't have to walk in that. It's incredible. Last couple of years, I have walked in so much more freedom in that area. You know what? I really don't care that much about what you guys think. I'm serious. I really don't. That makes me free. Because if I care so much about what you think, I'll just do whatever you tell me. I'm not interested in that. You can do it. You can do it, man. You don't have to be offended. Isn't that cool? You don't have to be offended. Yeah, but Jesus. Come on. He's awesome or he's not. Let's go with the first. Next slide, please. So let's look at just a couple things here. In Genesis 3, verse 1 to 7, this is where the whole deception thing took place, right? Did God say, you shall not eat of every tree? No, he said, do not eat of that tree of good and evil. You will not die. Yes, you will die because God said you would. That's what he said. Yes, you will. God's holding out on you, questioning God's character and goodness. Your eyes will be opened and be like God. They were already like God. 99% truth, 1% lie. And isn't it interesting how in so many ways the enemy speaks in first person, I am so silly. I am so stupid. Are you kidding me? Enemy can speak in first person like this, and we begin to agree with the lies he's sowing into our mind. We have all kinds of cults around the world right now, and they believe in Jesus. We got Jehovah's Witness, we have Mormons, and having conversations with these people, they agree with everything. It's just all yes and amen. Yes, woohoo! Yes, I agree. But Jesus is not God. And there's that one little tweak. So everything seems so Christian, but yet it's so demonic. And we need to be aware of these things, man. I wish I could have another few days with you guys to really go through this properly. But I want to give you a little snippet so that Holy Spirit, we can trust Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you guys and show you and reveal some of these things that you're living in that you can be totally free from. Next slide, please. So we got a couple things here. We got God's character, we got Satan's character, right? God's character. Let's look at this for a moment, okay? We got love, shepherd, father, truth, constant, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, fruit of the Spirit, the way in life, helper, strength. Is that not something that just sounds incredible? Like, who would want to put their life in the hands of that? There's a few of us. That's awesome. No, I'm just joking. You guys all do. And then let's look on Satan's side. Father of lies, accuser of the brethren, thief, wolf, kill, steal, and destroy, condemnation, disobedience, wickedness, deceitful, roaring lion. These are the things that describe the enemy in the Bible. These are words in Scripture that describe Satan. And in so many ways, we get sucked into this place where we begin to believe things because of what people said. We begin to see things and we experience things, and because we're not reading a word, we have nothing to plumb line our lives to except for our experience. And we begin to live however it takes us, led to the slaughter. And there's moments and glimpses of these incredible things where we're sitting around a ghetto blaster, you know, getting goosebumps from God because we're in His presence. But good Lord, take that in to the next day. Come on. We can keep going with this thing. We can live in a constant presence of God. It's real. So where am I aligning myself with Satan? Where am I allowing him to control me? Actually speak negative words about me, speak lies about me that are causing me to feel crippled every day, where I can't live in freedom. You know, I had this really crazy thing that I didn't even know until I was in my early 20s. I was told that I was stupid. something really simple. You know, academically, I didn't do well in school at all. You know, all the way through school. And I think the reinforcement of my teachers probably amplified this whole thing. And they'd all say things like, Dave, you're just not really good at this. You're just not really good at that. And as a young man being trained, I began to take on this mold of I'm just not good at school. So I would try really hard to be good at sports, and I would try to outdo everybody at sport. I'm going to do awesome at this. You think I suck at this? That's my mold. I'm going to create another mold. And I began to just live in this place where I just felt stupid all the time. All the time. Went into YWAM, and I began to realize that this is a mold. I had a friend actually come to me and say, Dave, do you realize that every time I try to say nice things about you, you just can't receive this? You just can't receive it. And I would deflect. I'm an extrovert. I'm a bit of the funny clown guy. And so I would just kind of laugh it off. Oh, yeah, you're just saying that because... And I would laugh it all off. And we all have these defense mechanisms, guys. Every one of us. None of us is without. But what is it doing for us? It's causing us to go, you know what? I'm just not interested in going there. Don't take me there. Because it's a deep hole. And it's emotional. And I just don't know what's going to happen. Well, as I became aware of this, oh my goodness, I had such an amazing encounter with God. He came and just rocked the place. Began to smash this mold that I lived in for 23 years. 23 years of living in this mold. Sometimes we just go, you know what? It's just there. I'll just have to learn to deal with it. Rubbish. You can live like that if you want to, man. Or the power of God is available.
Yes, it is.
And it is.
Yes, it is.
It's available. Next slide, please. So 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Let's just make some sense of this. What's going on? Strongholds of the mind, right? 10, verse 4. This is where a lot of the junk happens. It's right up here. It begins to tell you, hey, you're this. Hey, you're that. Amazing scripture that reveals where all of this stuff is actually taking place, right? Now, let me just share a few things with you. We have students coming into our training that absolutely cannot receive the love of God. They just cannot. For weeks on end, we'll be in incredible worship times, amazing speakers, lots of great stuff going on, and they just can't encounter it. They don't understand why. They want to, but they just cannot. And we begin to ask questions and go through, like, what has it always been this way? What exactly is it? And as we begin to pull it apart, Holy Spirit starts revealing things, right? This person, long time ago, got raped, got tread on, parents, family, friends, people were speaking all kinds of unlovely words at them, and it began to take root and actually shape their life, shape the way that they thought everything, right? And so if we can just imagine, I wish I had a picture for you, because sometimes the visual is just so nice. If you can imagine a little funnel above my head like this, right? That funnel represents all of the junk that you believe. All of the lies that Satan has over the years planted in you that you just say, you know, that's just me. This is my lot in life. This is the way that I'm created. You're created for love, to be love. Come on. You got that. So this girl had... I am unlovely. I'm not lovable. In that little funnel. Every time the voice of God would come, and does God want to speak love into your life? Absolutely. He thinks you're amazing. He says, I love you. No, you don't. I love... No, you don't. I love you. No, you don't. You don't love me because of this, because of that, because of this, because you can't love me, God. She could not receive the love of God because of her experience. She couldn't be loved. We begin to deal with the root of that, expose the life for what it was, say, you're never created to live like that. Your created value is love. It's the kingdom of God. It's freedom. Come on, guys. This is so good. This girl got set free, man. Totally set free. Man. Like, image stuff. The way she even looked, her countenance began to change. Because the ugliness of self begins to get removed. Love looks amazing, guys.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Whoo! And I wonder, I wish I could spend a little more time here, but we can't. But I want to encourage you guys to take some things before the Lord. Take it before the Lord. Say, God, where am I rejecting your voice? Because it's a subconscious thing. You would never say that. No one would ever say, I want to reject the voice of God. But subconsciously, we have been living in such a manner and been okay with living in the fall of man that we've never experienced the freedom of living righteous. And that's a problem. Because the power of God is available in the righteous. Not in the old man, but in the righteous. So be righteous. You can do that. You can be righteous, not because of all the wonderful things that you do, but because of what He's done for you. And walking in that incredible place of grace. Next slide, please. And we need to let God in. I want to do something, 1 minute. 1 minute. I just want to trust Holy Spirit. Let's just close our eyes for 1 minute. And if there's a place of repentance that needs to happen in your own heart, repentance is not a swear word. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, man. It's God's way of bringing us freedom. It's amazing. We're just going to take 1 minute, and we're just going to ask Holy Spirit, is there places in my life where I have lived in a lie? I just want to repent of that, God. I want to repent for aligning myself with that, and I thank you for truth. Just 1 minute. Okay. Next slide, please. I want to encourage you guys to take that home, to make your relationship with Jesus so real that it's that simple. Like, you don't have to wait 10 years to be free. I'm telling you, you could be free right now. It is that cool. Now we have to live that freedom out. You just need to believe truth. Get rid of the lie and believe truth. Isn't that so cool? We can actually do that. It is just that, it is that easy to believe truth and to encourage one another, read your Bible, to make relationship with Jesus, not just something on a Sunday morning, but every day waking up and inviting Holy Spirit to come and to invade your life and your world. All right, cool. We're going to keep cruising. You guys okay? All right, man, we're going to keep cruising. So when you weren't born again, you were called a sinner. And you needed repentance to be born again and to become righteous, right? Now, why is this so important? Because when we come out of a dark place into light, we leave the darkness behind. Because darkness has no dealings with light. And light, no dealings with darkness. Right? So we've been translated from darkness into light. So that's just kind of my lens for this bit right here. So sinner attributes, unrighteous to God's standards. They are perishing. They are lost and dying. They are slaves to sin. This is what sinners are. They're slaves to sin, right? This is what an unregenerated person actually looks like. Next slide, please. And then we've got what we call saints. The book of Acts, you know, this is really cool with the early church. Often Paul, it was Luke that wrote the book. He refers to Christians as saints, right? They're no longer sinners, but they're saints. Now, what's cool about this is that when you're called a saint, you have no dealings with sinner mentality. You've got a saint mentality. You've been brand new, right? No longer dealing with a sinner mentality. You're dealing with a saint mentality, right? All Christians are saints, but are also called to be saints. So this thing that we're actually being called to, we are called to salvation. We're called to live out salvation in its fullness, right? One more slide, please. I promise you we're getting somewhere with this. Born again. So unless you get born again, and this is the middle ground here, right? We have sinner mentality, we get born again, and boom, we just get translated in, by His grace, not by your works, not by all of your mighty deeds or anything like this, but by His grace, you become born again, and you are clothed with righteousness. You are righteous before Him, right standing with God, because that's the way that He made it. That's the finished work of the cross. You are in right standing with God. You never again have to question your salvation if you're in right standing with God. It's like one of my kids saying, "You're my dad." Oh, and then tomorrow going, "Are you really my dad?" "No, no, no, you're my dad." "Are you really my dad?" "No, I'm your dad." Just cool. Hey, we're doing this thing, man. I'm your dad. You're my kid. It's awesome. Let's have fun with this, right? But we are a new creation in Christ. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Through Christ, all is redeemed. Romans 5. 1 Corinthians 15. Now bear the image of the heavenly man. We are image bearers. Once an image bearer to sin and darkness, and your whole life represented, Romans tells us that you were a slave to sin. You had no choice in the matter. People think they're free, but they're totally caged. You were a slave to that thing. The DNA of the sinner has been broken through Christ. This is like a spiritual awakening for a person. Boom! Oh my goodness. Next slide, please. But we live this double standard at times, don't we? Where it's not our heart's intent. We don't wake up in the morning saying, "You know what? I want to live lukewarm today. I want to live like one side for Jesus and one side for the world, just because I think it'd be a really cool place to be." I don't think anybody's actually waking up in the morning and actually doing that, right? We're in church today because we love Jesus, or you're wanting to know more about Him. This is a wonderful place to be, right? But this is the battle that we face every day. Let's look at the left side here. The image bearer of Christ, the new man, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, good, faithful, gentle, self-control, gracious, selfless, thinks no evil, rejoices in truth, is not offended. The image bearer of sin, pride, envy, self-righteous, frustration, anger, unbelief, self-justification, fornication, idolatry, drunkenness, murders, selfishness, all of these things live on the other side. Let's encourage one another in truth. Let's encourage one another in truth. How do we do that? We begin to believe that we're actually new.
Yeah,
we actually need to believe that we're new. This is a very simple message. I hope you guys are understanding my words. Because the problem is that many of us don't believe that we can actually be free. We believe that we have to function in the old man for the rest of our life. And we'll have glimpses of this place when we come to church Sunday morning. That's my open heaven. Thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross. And then tomorrow we're living in sin because we actually believe we have to be there. We actually feel like this is my lot in life. This is my constant kind of thing that I'm going to struggle with. It'll be for the rest of my life. And Jesus never said that. Did you realize that? Isn't it crazy how we just believe stuff and it's not even in the Word? Man, you live caged up. You're a caged bird. And there is no hope in that. You'll always be like that, you know? You'll always struggle with that thing. You know that? No, you won't. You don't have to struggle with that for the rest of your life. Is the enemy around? Yes, he is. What is he? He's a nothing. He's been defeated. He's been disarmed. But we need to believe God. We need to walk as sons and daughters in the identity of Christ so that we can live victorious. Because until you do that, it's this constant battle. I'm living like Jesus today. I can't live like Jesus today. It's just so hard. I just don't know what to do. It's just, you know, everything's so heavy. Man, if that guy wouldn't have said that to me, then I wouldn't be like this right now. And it's just a bunch of rubbish. You can be free. It's for real.
Yes, it is.
But when we start embracing that, You embrace that as truth. If that guy wouldn't have selfishness, self-righteous, you were asked to deny yourself. And it's because it brings freedom to you. It's not because he doesn't love you, because he wants you to be free. That stuff kills you. It is poison to your soul. Poison. And if you want to hang on to that, that's up to you. I would encourage you not to. I love you the same, man. You know what? So does Jesus. What you do isn't dependent upon the love of God. God loves you regardless. He loved the world that he sent Jesus, even before they repented and said, I'm so sorry for what I've done to you. Let's encourage one another in truth. Let's really do this thing, man. Next slide, please. And this is something that I struggled with for so many years as a young man, you know, dealing with the thoughts, the issues of the heart, the eyes, all of the things that we know are just so normal. So normal. People struggling with it all the time. Pornography. Like, it's rampant. It's all over the place. And as a young man struggling with this, the mentors that I had, and they meant all good. They meant all good. And actually, I gained so much wisdom from having men of God around me. But one thing that they didn't share with me is that I can actually be free. It was dealing with the fruit. Well, if that's what's happening, then just do this. You know, well, if that's what's happening, then quickly just throw your computer out and then run out the door. Like, there were some pretty harsh things, you know, that they had said, hey, if the computer's a problem, well, then throw it away and run. Do the Joseph thing. And there is, I guess there's a place for that. But it doesn't address the issues of the heart, does it? You're only dealing with fruitful things, but there's a root issue. And the root issue was dealt with at the cross. That I'm a new man. All things have become new. All things have become new. And so we renew our mind by the washing of the word so we can agree with the promise of God and be free. Now, this whole mind wheel of hopelessness, please let me explain this, because the confession of sin is so powerful. Getting around somebody and confessing it and letting what's in darkness come into the light and getting freedom from it, right? But now we need to actually realize that we can be totally set free from this thing. It does not have to entangle us every day like your mind and your heart and your will would say. You don't have to succumb to that. And this was my life, guys. Sin, confess. Sin, confess. Sin, confess. Sin, confess. Sin, and it just went on and on and on and on and on. And people are just saying, you know what, brother? You're confessing it, which is good, and I agree, it's biblical. Do that. Get around some solid people that you can get freedom from and actually confess some of these deep, dark things, you know, to get it out, to expose what it is. But I was never told that I could be free in my heart from this thing. They're all outward things, and they are good things. Please hear me right. But you can be free in your heart. You can divorce yourself from the world and everything it has to offer. It's awesome.
It is.
You can actually be free. Isn't that radical?
Yes.
You can be free. You don't have to live like that anymore. That's the old man. That's the old man. When you wake up in the morning, we've all been good at raising dead people, right? That old man wants to rise up and you just give him a little knockdown, sing hallelujah, Jesus, get into your word, spend time with Jesus. Holy Ghost is so awesome. You're a house fit for a king. It's not my words, he made it that way. He must think you're pretty awesome. He must think you're pretty amazing to want to live on the inside of you. And so when you say, I don't have courage, courage lives in you. Of course you do. Yeah, but I can't. No, but you can. You totally can. You can live free. Because the Holy Spirit is so awesome. And he's so powerful. And it's a surrender every day. Saying, yes, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Just letting the Holy Spirit have his way in your heart. Letting him reveal darkness so that you can deal with it and quickly get things right and listen and obey. not just be pew warmers on a Sunday morning. Come on. This is church. You guys are awesome, man. It's amazing how we can just love one another, even though we don't even know one another, because of the love of God that was shed out for us. It's amazing. Next slide, please. We're almost there. You are what you believe. I want to turn to Romans 6. This is the only passage that I'm going to actually read, and I encourage you guys to get this whole PowerPoint with all the scriptures afterwards, because it is just awesome. I'm going to read this out to you guys. Hopefully it'll solidify some things for you guys and what I'm talking about. So Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise also, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked, and though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin. That whole Romans 6 passage here, guys, it is so incredibly powerful if we see it for what it is. It is defining two men. One old man and one new man. And we've been living in this place offense, living in the old man, because we actually believe we have to be there. You can be free. Let me just say this to you. You don't have to sin tomorrow. You don't have to sin next week. Whoa. It almost sounds like heresy, doesn't it? But it's only because you believe you have to. Freed from sin. Jesus says, follow me. He was the most normal Christian you'll ever meet. Jesus. He said, follow me, the sinless man. If you believe you have to sin tomorrow, you absolutely will. But if we become so God conscious and not so sin conscious, it's amazing how it frees me up. It liberates me. I don't have to sin tomorrow. I actually don't. I don't have to live in the hopelessness of that wheel of sin confess. I can actually be free. Read the word. This is a journey. So if tomorrow, you walk in tomorrow, and you're like, Oh, dude, I sinned again. Oh, my goodness, that's crazy. I'm such a horrible person. No, don't go there. That's the enemy's camp. No, we just say, thank you, Jesus, that you've made me righteous, that I can live righteous. I guess Matthew 8 talks about the good tree and the bad tree, right? He says, you're a good tree, so be a good tree. How do I do that? Love Jesus with all of your heart. Be so God conscious that sin consciousness has got nothing to do with you. It's the old man. Why would you even go there? It'd be a weird thing. It'd be strange to be living in the camp of sin. Why? Because you're made new. You're brand new. What a message of hope. Is that not hope? That you don't have to live in the old man anymore? Even though your experiences, maybe your own doctrines, maybe what people have said to you have caused you to believe you have to? You actually don't. You can just read the word and believe the word and it'll set you free. It'll totally set you free. Let's just see. I want to share one story and then we're going to finish up. I listened to this preacher from America. His name's Dan Moeller. He's just got this really radical identity message that just resonates with my spirit and my soul. And I've been so touched by his perspective of the word and the way that we can actually live. And he was, he's a pastor. He pastors a whole bunch of people. And he had a few guys, young believers that were coming in and they're being mentored by him. And week after week, they would come in sharing different things. And one week he shared a story where this guy came in and he goes, Dan, I did it again. I sinned. I did it again. It's like that, the early stages, you actually don't want to do it, but yet the week was full of it. And now we're meeting and, oh, my, it sucks. Oh, my heart is heavy. Dan goes, that's amazing. That's incredible. And he goes, Dan, I sinned. And he goes, that's incredible. And he goes, Dan, I don't think you heard what I said. And he goes, Dan, he's like, I heard exactly what you said. I said, isn't this amazing? 6 months ago, you didn't even think twice about doing that sin. Today you're telling me you hate that thing. Isn't that amazing? The gospel is alive. Oh, man! That is so good! It's alive and it's working. It's doing its thing. Every day you surrender. You surrender everything every day. Invite Holy Ghost in. He wants you to be a man and a woman of God that are destined for greatness, bearing the image of love wherever you go. And I'm telling you, if we could walk in that place, what would this world think of the Jesus that we are representing? Because I'm telling you, he needs to be representing to the world. They're not seeing the love of Jesus. They're seeing the old man trying to live out a gospel that is completely impossible without God. That's for real. I'm not saying it's this church. I meet a lot of people on the streets that are like powerless Christians, man, hypocrites, this and that. And it's a journey. Everything that I've shared this morning, please know that this is a journey. This is us discovering the greatness and the goodness of God every day. Just letting go, saying, God, I am a mess. I'm a wreck. And he's like, awesome. Can I come and fix you up? That is such an awesome place of humility. I'm a wreck, God. I'm a wreck. Not trying to be so strong on the inside so I can do my thing. I'm strong. Don't be strong. You will resist the Spirit of God. I'm serious. Don't resist Him. He's Holy Spirit. Just like Pastor said this morning, don't resist the Holy Spirit of God. That's right. Why? Settle it in your heart. He is incredible. I love Him. I want to know Him more. And that's enough. That's enough. I'm not a Bible scholar. He never asked you to be one.
Yeah, come on.
So good. Next slide, please. Next slide. So good. Next slide. It is finished. This is so powerful. In the Garden of Eden, when God had to kick man out of the garden, He put two tall angels with flaming swords in front of the gate. He had to kick us out of the garden in the beginning. And when he said, "It is finished," that gate reopened. We live in the garden once again. Or you can live in the garden once again. Where all of those things that were lost through the fall of man have been absolutely redeemed. Perfect communion with God. It is good. It is good. So when he said, "It is finished," it pleased the heart of God, it said. It pleased the heart of God because he ushered us right back into the garden. So awesome. Last slide. So walking in sonship. Sonship that encompasses all you ladies as well. Through the lens of humility, we need to look at all of this. You know, I am a new creature. I am a man of God. You are a woman of God. You are a man of God. We can say those things when we have humility living in our hearts. You're not a worm in the dirt. You are who God says you are. So when he says you're a son of God, that's just who you are. That's not pride. That's just who you are.
That's right.
But it's all through the lens of humility, right? Be intimate with the Lord. Be intimate. Confidently knowing that God has called you. Not arrogant, not prideful. Confidently knowing what he has said about you. And understanding that I am under grace. Growing in maturity as a son and daughter. Looking and desiring to be like love. Representing Christ and his message. And living out your salvation, sozo. The whole package. Living out the entire thing. Man, if we can begin to do this, I promise you, your life will look differently. It will look so different. Those things that you struggle with consistently over and over and over. I'm telling you, it's not that Jesus doesn't want to heal you. Not that Jesus doesn't want to deal with those struggles, is that we actually have to change the way that we think.
Yes.
It's true. We can come up here for prayer every week. Pray. Jesus, help me. And we pray and you get the tinglies and you get all the goosebumps and all the fun stuff that comes with the presence of God. Hallelujah. And then we got to walk through those doors. And you got to walk out your salvation and walk out the freedom. Live in truth. And if you got stinking thinking up here, it's never going to do it for you. You will always live in bondage.
That's right.
You will. I promise you. I don't want you to. But I promise you, that's where it leads to. Destruction. It's the self. It's poison to your soul. It will never lead to righteousness. Can I pray for you guys? Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Father, I want to just thank you so much for this church, and I just thank you for the freedom that is in this place. And oh, it's so good, Lord, just to worship you and to know that I can be free in you. And I pray for every heart that would be heavy, every heart that would be wrestling with these concepts and these ideas. I thank you that you're a good teacher. Thank you that you're a good counselor. God, you can counsel them through the issues of life. You would help us to see the patterns of our heart, God, that are causing us to live in a lie and not in truth. I thank you for Jesus, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and anything outside of that is a lie. Father, help us. Help us. Help us, Lord. You say when we ask for the Holy Spirit, when we ask for more of you, you won't give us a stone. You won't give us a fish. God, you give us what we need. And we need a breakthrough, God. We need freedom in our hearts, God. Thank you for truth. Thank you that it is finished. That we can walk in the garden this morning. We can believe that you have set us free, God. We can read the word and we can understand it. Because you've made us sons and daughters. You've made us righteous because of your great grace. You're awesome, Lord. Help us to not just be inspired on a Sunday morning, but God, to live a life of freedom, God. Tomorrow is a new day, and I thank you that you're good in that place. Thank you, Lord. Help us to read the word. Help us to understand truth, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And we just say more. Less of us and more of you, God. Come and transform us. We're not looking for behavior management, God. We're looking for transformation. God, I can't do it, but I know by the power of the blood of Jesus, I can live righteous and I can be love. Thank you, Father. We love you so much, Jesus. Bless this church, man. Bless them in every manner, every spiritual blessing, God. I pray that you would grow them and challenge them and cause them to seek your face in such a real way. Thank you, Lord. We love you. I thank you for Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you guys so much for letting me come. Gary, you're awesome, man. Love you so much, bro. You're just doing such a great job. And yeah, I'm just seriously impressed with just you, your consistency. And the Lord has got so much more. It's more like refiring, not retiring. It's refiring. I really feel like God has actually opened up some new doors, some new avenues. You know, this is an awesome avenue here, but I feel like your influence is going to extend beyond the borders of this right here, and it's going to be new and fresh, and God is just going to put a fire in your belly for that thing, and it's going to just bring new life, and it's going to extend to the body over here. So bless you, man, and thank you so much. Sheree?
I just wanted to pray for you as well, because I was sitting there in my seat just before Dave started praying, and I just had something that I felt to pray for you guys too. So, Lord, I want to pray for this congregation, that as every individual becomes free in different areas of their life, that you would bring old dreams that they've had years ago that they maybe even have forgotten about, not thought about for so many years, they would bring those to life again, because you put those there for a reason in the very beginning. And life has not had too much happen for them to be able to still fulfill those dreams that you've put in their hearts. So speak to people today, draw them close to you, and as you do, change them and grow them and bring them closer to you, help those things to come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.